full-time Christian, but they've never been called to full-time service.
Yeah.
We are all in full-time service. And most illustrations that you'll read or hear in sermons are about people who are in a full-time Christian vocation. Once in a while, you'll hear an illustration, as I recall hearing a couple through the years, but only a couple through the many years of my serving Christ, that were a Sunday school teacher who had made an unbelievable impact on the lives of their students. We're all called to be in full-time service. Robert Morrison was the first Protestant missionary to China. He was steadfast and faithful as a servant of God. Someone wrote about Robert Morrison: Morrison feared neither the face nor the frown of man. He was never moved by adversity or contempt. Like a sturdy oak, he weathered many a storm. He stood alone, unmovable, once God's voice had called him. The Apostle Paul put it in these words: but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. Here we are, the last night of Youth Week. Youth Week. It's probably the highlight week of the year at Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
It may be the highlight year in your life, or the highlight week, okay, in a year of your life, and that's just fine. However, what I want to stress to you young people is in two words: don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. The importance of the presence right now cannot be stressed. You're living right now. You can't do anything to change the past, other than, if it was wrong, to repent of it. That means to change your mind and your actions because you don't like what took place. You have no control over what's coming in the future. You can make right choices and decisions to aim you in the right direction, but you don't know what's coming in the future. You just live right now. And what I want to encourage you to do is to live right, right now. In Matthew chapter 21, if you'd like to turn to it. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading at verse 28. It's a parable of two sons. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the people to whom Jesus was speaking, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, before them religious leaders. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. I would like to draw your attention to a few choice words that are here in the 28th verse. These are used in many classic, common Bible stories. They are used in our own everyday talking language. The first is go. go. There are many action words in the Bible, such as this one, go. Of course, there are many times that the Bible tells us to wait. And often we Christians have difficulty in trying to discern when we're to wait and when we're to go. Go. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, a very familiar passage from the Old Testament. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run, go, and not be weary. And they shall walk, go, and not faint. What do we see? We see in this verse that waiting and going are related. Wait for the strength and guidance of the Lord in order to go in the power of God and in the direction of God. The Bible lays great stress on the importance of going. And the reason why we must stress the go of the gospel is because there is much work to do. Go, work. Young people, you can work now. Now, several churches are represented here. And what I'm saying now to the young people, and I'm thinking primarily of teenagers and young adults, what I'm saying can fit into many other adults. You say, well, when does young adulthood end? It's always 10 years beyond wherever you are, okay? Several churches are represented here. I'll speak to the one I know, Black Creek. Amen. And you can take it, the things I'm saying, and apply it to your life and your church and how it would fit there. Let's start out with the teens. You can work for the Lord. Too many times, teens think that they have to wait till they become an adult before they can really do something important. I'm here to declare to you tonight as a pastor of many years that you can do things of importance now. As a matter of fact, when teens don't do what they can, guess who has to do it? An adult. And then do you look at that same task and consider, whoa, that's an important work. If I had done it, it was unimportant. But if an adult does it, it's important. Of course not. All right, we have VBS coming up here at Black Creek. And I know some of the things that I'm going to say the teens are already involved in and already doing. But like I said, we have other churches represented. And I don't even know I know we have teens involved in our VBS, but I don't know who is and who isn't. And so VBS is coming up. And so you need to talk to Jennifer Baylow and find out where you can help. You say, well, I'm not a teenager yet. Well, then you're probably in a class. And it's great that you want to work, but VBS is for you. And so you just go through your years, and then when you become a teen, then we're going to look for you and expect you to work. But we have more than VBS. We have cleaning teams at this church. Now, any one of you teens can volunteer to help a cleaning team. Yeah, well, my mom's a cleaning team. Well, then you help her if you're not. And if you are, quit your whining and just do it. Because you're going home and you're going to pray, God, show me what I can do to serve you. And mom already did when she says on whatever day we're going to clean the church. And so, but if you don't have a parent that cleans the church, you can volunteer. And you can, your mom and their mom, they can arrange for how you're going to get here and you can help clean the church. You can go around all these pews and any extra papers that are laying there. And I warn Black Creek people, don't leave stuff laying in the pew. Because a cleaning team might get it after tonight's advice, and if they don't, I might when I get here early. I will give them service. If you wondered, well, what happened to that song sheet? Probably I got it. But here's one. You see? That doesn't belong there. Well, that's where you sit. And so you can pick up that stuff. Let me show you something else. Team can do this. If you open everyone, what are those things? What are those?
Tell me.
Lisa, what are those? They look like dead leaves, don't they? Yeah. A vacuum cleaner would work on that. And then a bucket of water and a rag and clean out all the windowsills. You said, how do you know that? That's just the way God made me. It's in my genes. I see things like that without looking. I don't go around searching for things. I just see them kind of things. And so you can clean them out. You can go around and empty the trash cans. I came up one Sunday morning before Sunday school, and here was a note. Please announce that the cleaning team should empty all of the trash cans. That means a trash can in every Sunday school room should be emptied. Obviously, somebody had one that hasn't been. And so the teen helper can go around, gather up all them things, and throw them away. I want to do meaningful work. You just need to hang around me for a little while and you'll understand what is meaningful work. Because that's meaningful work. And then I come here in the wintertime when we get snow around here. And I pull up, and frequently what I'll see is Jim Wilcox. Jim Wilcox, about 78, 79 years old, he's out there shoveling. Now that's bad enough in itself. You know what's worse? When I see a couple teenagers standing on the porch. If you're a parent, you've got a teen that's standing on the porch when 78 or 9-year-old Jim Wilcox is shoveling snow, shame on you, parent. Now let me tell you something else that's important. You're getting a whole ball of wax tonight. We need to have two snow shovels that have about 80-foot chains on them.
Right.
And you'll understand why. And tongue in cheek. They're attached. Because when you go to shovel and you can't find a shovel, what happened to the shovel? Where did the shovel go to?
Yeah.
Why, the snow genie ate it. So the church shovels need to stay in the church. So when the teenagers are here Sunday morning, they can shovel. And shovel they should. You say, well, it's not snowing now. Don't have to worry about that. No, but we need some brooms kept in that same corner of the foyer. Because front porch and side porch, 9 times out of 10, need sweeping. And the steps need sweeping. And they need sweeping tonight. And there's stuff that needs to be moved. You say, stuff? Yeah. When you come up the steps, or now you'll be leaving, you go down the steps, you look off on the side. When you're coming up, it's on your right. If you're going down, it's on your left. Aren't you glad I told you that? You're likely to have gone out and looked on the right, and you don't see any stuff. What do you mean stuff? Rocks, chunks of tree branches. And again, when I came in, I looked to be sure, and wow, there's even more stuff. There's 3 or 4 tissues there. You know that God has a special reward for picking up stuff? You say, show me that in the Bible. Oh, you want to get spiritual now. Listen, This is the work of the Lord. Talk to the pastor. I'm sure there's other things that he knows need to be done. Now, young adults, that's beyond teens, beyond high school. And some of these things I know the older teens can do as well. But you mow lawn. Okay? And I know somebody mows a lawn. Okay? Again, it doesn't just happen. Somebody gets a mower and gets over here and mows a lawn. But you know, if more than one person was doing it, they could be taking turns and the whole load wouldn't be on one person. And trimming the lawn. Every time the lawn's mowed, it should be trimmed with a weed whacker. No, we don't own a weed whacker. Then get one of these old-fashioned things. It's called a hand trimmer. And you get on your knees and you crawl around and you trim it. Okay? You say, oh, I've never heard of anything like that. I know that's why I'm telling you about it. Sunday school again. Young adults, there's times we need a substitute. Young adults, there's times that the regular sub and the regular teacher are both gone and we need somebody to just, you know, one time teach. And so there's Sunday school. And again, there's VBS. I encourage you young adults to talk to a trustee. Now out here where they replace the septic tank, they're gonna have to pour some concrete. You know who's gonna likely do that? 78 or 79 year old Jim Wilcox and mid to late 60s John Mattis. And there ought to be some young adult helping. Now listen, I understand if they do it in the middle of the day, some of our young adults have a job and they can't be here at 2 o'clock maybe when they're going to pour it. But maybe somebody can be. And when I say young adults, that might be somebody that's just 40 years old. Okay? And they could help. And and like I say, I know some teens and some young adults have done these things or are doing them. And they're likely doing things we don't think about. Pastor called for a volunteer, and I think it was Peter volunteered, to clean the gutters. And he went around cleaning all the old leaves and everything else out of the gutters. I know things are happening. But again, remember Black Creek, we have other people here. And maybe they'll hear some of the things I'm saying and realize that they can do. You say, well, I want to work for the Lord. I want to do some spiritual things. You want to do some spiritual things. God isn't going to entrust to you the more valuable things till he knows you can handle the simpler things. Now, I don't know where the passage in the scripture is, but there's a passage that goes with that. And I'm not blowing smoke on that one. There is, okay? You mouthing it to me? Oh, poorly, okay. The Bible lays great stress on the importance of going. And the reason why we must go is because there's work to do. Work to do. Jesus himself said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Sometimes, because we can emphasize, rightly so, the spiritual aspects of the church, we get an idea that there's the spiritual things and then there are these every other day things. When a Christian does the every other day things, they're doing service to the Lord. Who do you expect to do it? Some unsaved person from outside? You expect them to come in and do these things? Oh no, we're not going to have the unsaved doing our stuff. Well, how come sometimes we don't do our stuff? Yeah, it's getting quiet in here. Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me. When I was a pastor for 47 years, 50 years, I don't know how many years, 52 years. I just said it earlier. When I was a pastor, I never went into the church and found it just clean. Well, looky that. It got clean. God must have sent an angel down here to clean the church. Almost forgot this one. I happened to go out the front door. And when I turned to close the door, we need somebody to come with a bucket of water and a long brush and wash off the siding. You see? You say, well, I want to do spiritual work. No, no. I don't know what it is you want to do, but that kind of stuff needs to be done. I never, never, whether it was in Reading or in Harrisburg or in Bell Run in near Shingle House, or for 39 plus years at Grace Bible Church out in the country of Shingle House, I never once found things to just happen. Somebody made it happen. You say, well, this is a little different direction than what we're used to for Youth Week.
I like it.
I thought it might be. I thought it might be. Can you look back, if you've been here 2, 3, 4, however many years, can you look back and can you identify how your life is different because of the Youth Weeks you've been in? Can you look back over the church you attend and look over the last year and how is your life different by the things that you heard and learned? You know what I'm concerned? I'm concerned that a week of meetings in a lot, not everybody's for sure, and I hope only a few, but in too many people's lives, it's their Christian entertainment. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait for Youth Week. Brother so-and-so's coming. Oh, I just love the way he preaches. Well, you know, I have some preachers that I like to hear. Indeed. But is it just our form of entertainment? I don't know. That's always concerning. And I can't, I'm giving no final answer. I'm just raising the question. And then today, go work today. Tomorrow may be too late. That was stressed last night. The importance of going to work for the Lord today. Doing these things today. Don't wait for a better day. Don't wait for another day. Don't wait until you feel somehow different. Because when it comes to this matter of working for the Lord, the only thing you're going to feel different is harder. More stiff-necked. Less interested. You are not going to naturally develop a yearning and great desire to go help out at the church house. It goes the other way.
Yeah.
It goes the other way. And listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir with a lot of this. I know the Black Creek people. And there's only a very few that aren't doing something. I understand that. But this kind of message helps those who are getting weary in well-doing. Remember, the emphasis I said is don't quit. Yeah, well, let somebody else do it. Why? Well, I'm getting tired. Why do you want to give away your reward? Why do you want to give away the blessing God has for you serving Him? Isn't that why you're doing it? To serve Jesus? Isn't that why you are involved in what you're involved in? So that God will be pleased with what you're doing? You see, what I'm talking about is motive. And we got to check our motives for why we do things. Now, it's right for one person to pat another person on the back. It's right for one person to say to another person, I appreciate the work you do. It's right for one person that doesn't have any children to go up to a Sunday school teacher of children and say, thank you for teaching our children. Now they're going to look at you strange because they know they don't have any of your children. But you're teaching the children of the church. It's right for us to appreciate and acknowledge another one's service. But it's not right for us to do it to get those kind of comments. You see, we're supposed to be doing it to serve the Lord. Now, I call my wife, Pastor loves when I call her my member. Okay, he really picked on that one. But I also call her the Holy Spirit's helper. Because I'll come home after, back when I was pastor, I'd come home and I'd sit down in the chair. And then I'd start doing what every good Baptist pastor does. I'd start murmuring. I never called it murmuring. I was just expressing myself. I don't understand why you would have this and that didn't happen and why somebody did this and why the other, I go down through and I remember the first time she did it. She just looked me square in the eyes and she said, Roger, I thought you were doing it to serve the Lord. That just sort of stopped me in my tracks. We all can use some kind of a wake-up reminder when it comes to who we're doing it for. Let me invite you. Let me challenge you. Let me demand of you to go work today. There is something that every Christian can do, some form of work to glorify God, be they boys, girls, teens, or adults of whatever age. Newly saved people can work for the Lord, as well as those that have been saved a long time. And there'll come a day when you may not be able to work. Just today, my wife lamented the fact that she can't come out and help in the kitchen. But she'd like to. She came up with an idea. And we're going to pray about that idea. See if something can come of it. You'll like it, Janice, if it comes. But we have to work on it. Pray on it. So which one of the two sons are you? Are you the second that said, I'll go, but didn't? Scared off by the work, by the preparation, by the difficulty, by the people you work with? I remember hearing a pastor say one time, you know, this business of pastoring wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for the people. Go figure that one out. Or are you like the first son? I will not. But afterwards you changed your mind and you began to do it. That's repentance. When you change your mind, your heart, and you begin to do what you said you wouldn't do. Now, another passage. And that's in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And it's all in keeping with this idea of don't quit. Keep going. Keep working. Now listen, some of you, in order to heed the message, don't quit, you've got to start to work. I can't say to you, don't quit, because you aren't doing anything. Now, honestly, so many are doing something. And of course, as is often the case, a few carry the load of many. I forget who it was from the past that said, I'd rather have 10 men each doing one job than one man doing 10 jobs. And that's the case, all right? All right, now we're in Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here it is. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He said, let us not be weary, because the fact of the matter is we do get weary. Humanly. But we're not doing the work of the Lord merely in humanness. We're doing it by the power and the enablement of God. But don't let the devil camp in your doorstep and put you on a guilt trip that because you're weary, something must be spiritually wrong. No, you are human and normal. Just don't let yourself camp there.
Yes.
Don't let yourself stay there. Tell the devil. The Bible tells us that if we'll rebuke the devil, he'll flee from us. But that advice comes after we are told to submit ourselves to God. So give yourself to God and then rebuke the devil and pick up. And I love gospel songs. Okay. And there's one song. He'll pick up the broken pieces and put them back together again. Okay? And that's what he'll do. You're weary. You're about done in. Just admit it. Go to God. And let him pick up the pieces. And put them back together again. I'm sure there's many times that many of you have answered the call of God. The instruction of scriptures do what maybe a sermon was preached or a Sunday school lesson and you began to do it, and it wasn't too long and until you felt like quitting. Don't do it. Don't quit. There's a claim in your life. There's a victory to be won, and it's not won by quitting. Be a Bible reading, Bible study. We hear messages about that and ought to. And then, you know, if that's a weak area in your life, and whose life isn't it? But if that's a weak area in your life, then you say, all right, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Now I wonder, when you said that, I'm going to read my Bible every day, did you set yourself up for a fall? Might it be better, if you know yourself, to say, Lord, I want to read my Bible every day. And with your help, I'll do that. Because you see, that's the kind of decision that isn't just made one time in response to the conviction of the Spirit for a message you may be hearing. Okay, make it that one time. But realize you're going to have to make that every day. Every day. The reason I'm pausing is I'm thinking of my days. And folks here at church know that I have a prayer corner. It's got a rocking chair in it. Bookshelf here. Empty shelf. That empty shelf is where there's a coaster. That's where I set my cup of coffee. There's a napkin lays there. That's where I lay my cookies. And the Lord and I have coffee and cookies together. Believe me, he's going to have my attention if he ever eats one of my cookies. I'll know. But how many times had time to drink my coffee, and I had time to read in the Bible, and then, oh, that's right, I've got to put air in that truck tire. Oh, all right, I better do it right now before I forget it. And so I get up and I go out and put air in the truck. I have to put air in the truck tire because at noon, 4 days a week, I have to leave to go to the local library where I work 3 hours a day cleaning the library. You say, you got a job cleaning the library? Sure, remember them windowsills? And so somehow I just don't get back to the chair. And on the way to the library, I remember that. And because Pat called and said, your lunch is ready. You know, funny thing, I've never said, well, I'm not going to eat lunch today because I need to go finish reading my Bible and praying. Well, I need to have my nourishment after all. I don't want to get frail. Really? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I can see it on enough of your faces. Some of you are keeping a real straight face. Now that either means you can't identify with it, or you'd be good at playing poker, which I'm not advising you to do. Listen, this is the real life. It's where you and I live. And it's where God wants to take us from and move us on. If you think to yourself, boy, you're something else. You should have known me before I got sanctified. And I say that in jest, but I say that very seriously. God has brought me a long way. So when did he start doing that? Oh, well, when I became a pastor, I became perfect, okay? And then when I retired, I backslid again. But in between, I was everything I should be. God doesn't call the perfect. He calls the weak, the foolish, and shows his perfection.
Glory to God.
Through. And that's wonderful. That's no excuse that we can look to. That we can't look to that as an excuse. I merely say it because I want it to be an encouragement to you. You've come through a whole week and God has challenged you with many things. He has convicted you about many things. And he has pulled back some curtains and shown you some things. Just thanking. And just say to him now, Lord, you know I can't do those things. But I want to. And if you want to, he'll begin to work in you. Sure, the going is hard. And most work is hard. But it's also rewarding. Let me say that again. Work is rewarding. W-O-R-K. There's some people that I'm never going to convince. Work is rewarding. But it is. I read a story about old Jim. Old Jim was a faithful horse. And Uncle Lem put old Jim out to pasture to roam when he was no longer able to pull the plow. And he would whistle, and old Jim would come running to the fence. And so Lem whistled one day, and old Jim didn't come. And he didn't understand that. Oh, then he remembered there was an old well that he never did get around to covering. And he was fearful. Did old Jim fall in the well? So Lem went out to that abandoned well, and yes, there he had fallen in. And Lem tried to figure out, how am I going to get that horse out of there? I'm afraid if I put, I don't even know how I get a strap around him to begin to try to pull him out. And I'm afraid I'd break his legs in the process of pulling. And what am I going to do? So he went to the house and he got his gun. And he couldn't leave old Jim in the well. He took the gun back out and thought he was going to have to shoot him and just bury him in the well. But when he stood up there, he couldn't bring himself to do it. So he got a shovel and a pick. Dug a little dirt and threw it in. Dug a little more and threw it in, and the horse stomped it down. Got a little more, threw it in. Threw some more in. The horse stomped. Notice my horse's one foot doesn't stomp as much as the other one. Old Jim's lame. literally. And so he threw more in. And you know the end of the story. Little by little, the horse just kept rising up until he was up high enough he could get out and run. There's a lot of work that God gives us to do, be it what we think of as the mundane, everyday stuff, or be it some of the what we consider more important things, like teaching a Sunday school class or holding an office. Whatever it is, however you evaluate it, little by little, bit by bit, God will bring you along. When you fail, just tell Him. He knew you were going to fail, but He still called you to do it. Think about that. How much God loves you. And he just go to Him. Lord, forgive me. I give it to You. Father in heaven, our heart's desire is to live for You and to serve You. And I pray, dear Lord, that everyone in this building tonight, but especially those that bear the title of this week of meetings, youth, be they the beginning level of youth or be they those who are leaving that status of youth and getting into what we call adulthood, wherever they are, I pray, dear Father, that they may know the blessing, the sheer satisfaction, and yes, enjoyment of working for You. Now this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord Cliff, I'm not going to preach, but I want to add a verse to what he said. Why don't everybody turn to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, and I want you to go to verse 24. Tell me this isn't the verse. 1 Samuel 30, verse 24. Samuel 30, verse 24 says, "For who will hearken unto you this matter? But as his part that goeth out to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They shall part alike."
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
You know, there's Dale Morey. He's in Maine.
Yes.
Boy, swinging the sword of God. His wife.
That's right.
Side and such. Jennifer Baylor was down in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, who would David have rewarded the most?
Uh-huh.
He's no, they'll part that equal.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll part
Amen.
That equal.
That's
Amen.
Good. That's good.
That's what they're doing.
That's good.
Yeah.
I gotta make a note of that and add that to that message. What was that? 1 Samuel
30, verse 24. 30. By the way, you wanna know how to torture Pastor Hannah? Then time died.
I'll show you another when he does. He comes out of here and he leaves the door standing open. And if I'm already sitting down back there, I can't do anything about it.
But he does that. God is not the author of confusion, John Asper. I can walk in this pulpit, there can be a pile of dirty diapers, cups all over the place, the pulpit can be burned, and everything. I don't even notice it. He walks in here, there's a piece of linen on my tie, and he's just dying.
I've got to confess to you, Brother Tim, last night I came in, and I straightened the chairs. And then I saw some sheets of music on the floor, and some on the chair, and some was here on the pulpit under the hymn book, and there was a couple of them over on the table. Well, I just gathered them all up and put them all over on the table. And I perceived that when you went for the second song, they were looking. I knew where they were. I just wasn't about to tell.
My. The very first missionary I ever kept in my home, Brother John Wheat. Well, John Wheat served in the country of Australia until he died. And he died in his early 70s. That verse was his, he signed his prayer letter every time with that verse. 1 Samuel 30:24. Amen. Everything's important in the work of God. Amen. I challenge you young people especially, and some of the older ones too, take a concordance, get out eSword or whatever you use, and look up the word work. And when you're done with the word work, add the word labor to it.
Yes, sir.
Put those two side by side and see what you come up with about work. One of the most spiritual things you can do is a dirty four-letter word called W-O-R-K. Work. Amen? It'll teach you a lot. And it's just a blessing. You know, he said something. My mind went back to Brother Earl. Brother Earl said one day, he said he'd laying there in bed. He woke up in the morning, he said, Lord, I quit. And the Lord said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Earl, don't you think you ought to start first?
Amen.